This morning, as I've already alluded to earlier, is of course Mother's Day. It just so happens that this Mother's Day I decided to preach about mothers. We're going to be talking about a mother to be honored. And our lesson, obviously, is aimed to give honor to mothers and to show how they should live in such a way to be worthy of honor. And of course, a lot of what we're going to be talking about comes from that of Proverbs 31. Proverbs chapter 31 will be our main text, really, but we will venture out to other scriptures in the Bible, of course. But once again, if you have your Old Testaments, Proverbs chapter 31 will be our starting point, and we'll look at a few verses there. You know, many times we hear that, sometimes at funerals of women, wives, mothers. It talks about the virtuous woman. It talks about those that are priceless. And we realize in our lives how important mothers are to all of us. In verse 10 itself of Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. And I have had the question that raised in my mind last week while I was preparing this lesson, and that is, what is mom's work worth? Have you ever tried to calculate that to see how much it really is worth? And there's actually an organization called salary.com where you can actually come up with a dollar figure as to how much a mother is worth, whether they have a job or whether they are, you know, some people, well, she's just a stay-at-home mom. Well, that's a job, right? Kenzie's, yep. That's, yeah. All the women understand this, right? And it just so happens that obviously, you know, with the fluctuations and things of that nature throughout time and inflation and all that other good stuff, that salary.com actually put that price tag that I'm about to list up here on what a stay-at-home mom is worth. I just put stay-at-home mom. Now, in your minds, I bet you're trying to come up with a figure, right? Kenzie come up with like a billion something dollars or something. No, that's not true, right? The national median for a stay-at-home mom is right now $112,962 a year, right there. Now, you can actually put your zip code in also on this internet site, and you can figure out your local median or your average or whatever, and I just stuck with a median there. For Joaquin area, for center area, in this area here, the local area is $97,450 up to $98,000 a year. I thought that was very interesting. But you know, we're not counting all the things, the most valuable things like love. We're talking about affection. You know, this is a price tag on other things. We're talking about priceless, right? We're talking about priceless. A godly mother is priceless. You cannot put a price tag on a godly mother. You just can't do it. And how do I know this? Because I was raised with a godly mother. And that's something that we can understand there. Real value cannot be placed on a godly mother. No one rises to any higher plane of moral accomplishment than does a godly mother. It just doesn't happen. No one selflessly sacrifices as a mother. We talk about the body and how it bears the unborn. We talk about giving nourishment. We talk about giving protection. Sharing time. We understand what that's like, right? Energy, talents, and the very heart. As you think about the weeping and you think about the laughing through the turbulent changes from childhood all the way to adulthood. And we think about the task. There is no task on earth that requires more dedication, more commitment, and I say highly refined skills tempered by compassion and patience as a mother. And as we look at the various functions of motherhood, I want us to be moved, obviously, to gratitude for mothers, whether we still have them today or they have gone on before us, the gratitude that we have. The first thing I would present in this lesson is godly mothers are managers of the home. Are they not? They really, really are. And think about, of course, as I think about it, as I was growing up, you know, I didn't see it at the time, but it is so clear to me, so clear the older I have gotten, and how much she managed of our home. I take us to Proverbs chapter 31, and we're skipping down a few verses there in verses 27 and 28. The proverb writes, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. You know, that's something amazing. And I say, if there's any more accomplishment, that this is all Bible-based, isn't it? This is the way God designed the family. This is it. Now, we see in our nation today that that's not really the way it is now, is it? You don't see this a lot. So this is something actually we would actually call rare in our society, isn't it? Because it's something that's, you know, we say back in the, it's fleeting, it's changing. But it has always been there. We see how open it is now. But, you know, we talk about God's order of things. You know, how we marry, bear children. He's talking about managing here as well. He's talking about guidance here in the home. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14, Paul told Timothy, therefore I desire that the younger marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. He says, don't give them the opportunity. Don't show them that, the opportunity to speak reproachfully. And keeping the home really is a primary responsibility according to the scriptures. In the past, we think about the role of the woman in the home was commonly called homemakers, wasn't it? Kenzie and I have talked about this many times in the past, you know. I think we talked about woman's lib a few times and how things have changed, right, over time. You know, you hear ladies today say, oh, I'm just a housewife. Well, I can go ahead and throw my 2 cents in there. There's a lot to being a housewife, right? There's a lot. And I give Kenzie all the credit for, once again, staying at home and being just a housewife. But years ago, we say this role was no legendary role, nor is it now, but it is viewed by some as such. A few years ago, a leading woman's magazine did a survey of today's women. Their findings showed that many did not plan to have children, stating, I do not want the mess, noise, check, and trouble that accompanies children. Really? God talks about seeking and finding satisfaction, fulfilling oneself in parenthood, and especially here we talk about motherhood. The worthy woman that we're talking about is an example of a domestic manager. Once again, you see it in Proverbs 31. This is what we're going off of. This is one that we find in verses 21 through 28, who is an efficient manager of the home. Read with me for a moment, verses 21 through 28. Here we go. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. her husband also, and he praises her. We see that her priorities are in order. We see that, don't we? Back up, look at verses 15 and 16 now. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for whom? Herself? It says her household, doesn't it? Notice it goes on. She consider, or there, and a portion for her maidservants. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it from her profit. She plants a vineyard. Going down to verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out when? By night. Go on down to verse 24 now. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Notice the priorities. Even though she had pursuits outside of the home, obviously, in verses 16 and verse 24 that we just read there, she shows in verse 15 and 18 that her family was something that comes first. It comes before the outside interest. That's someone who we find in verse 25 contributes to a bright future for her family, doesn't it? Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. You know, have you ever wondered when you read that why that's so? Because we're going to talk about a little bit later, I'm the product that came out of the Dickerson household from Burkeville, Texas. I am. This is the reflection of what my parents taught me. What trace was left upon me. And the future that she wanted me to have in my own house. We talked about that in the Bible class, how we are so different, aren't we? We're very different. And that's, you know, that we say that's the struggles of marriage, right? You're different. You know, we think about the different times. Like me and Kenzie was talking about, for example, I'm going to use her dad for an example. This is a good one. He's probably preaching about me too, so might as well go ahead and start with him today. You know, we talk about the things we do around the house, right? He's not a cook at all. He doesn't cook. I like to cook every once in a while to help out. That's kind of different, isn't it? Cleaning? I like to clean from time to time. I like it, but I do it to help out. Where did I learn that from? You ever wonder that? Where did I learn that from? I learned it from my mother when I said, "This is woman's work." And she corrected me real quickly. And from that day forward, I learned, this can be man's work too. And so from that point forward, I learned something very valuable from my childhood and carried it on into my marriage. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Something, you know, we think about priorities that are set, the efficiency that one wants to see in the future of her children. Well, let's move on. Godly mothers are models of obedience, aren't they? First and foremost, she is obedient to the Lord, because once again, we're talking about biblical source, right? This is the source of all things. James 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Here's the basis of all mankind right here. I've said it before, I say it again, if God is not the center of the home, what happens to it? It fails. If God is not the center of the individual life, it fails. If God is not the center of the nation, it fails. Makes sense, doesn't it? Because we see it in history as we read the Old Testament, as we go on through time. One must submit themselves first to God. And this is exactly the way the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 is described. Second, we talk about to the husband. 1 Peter 3 and verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And I've told y'all this one before too. And this verse always amazes me, and every time I come to it, I say the same thing, because it reminds me every time I see this verse. That's my mother right there, because I watched this verse actually come true in my life when my dad fell away from the church. She took us to services. She asked him, "Are you going to services today?" Examples the conversations that we had, the Bible readings we had at night. Do you think that left an impression on the mind? It did. Because where is he at now? He's back in service. I'm telling you, and you probably know this for yourself, that when you see things like this come true, the way the Bible says it does, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of wives. That's a very important thing. The role model, the primary teacher of her children. At a banquet, very interesting story. At a banquet, the mother of George Washington was sitting beside a distinguished French officer. Turning to Washington's mother, the officer asked, "How have you managed to rear such a splendid son?" And she replied, "I taught him to obey." That's a model right there of obedience. Not because I tell you to do something, but because I show it myself. That's the Christian, right? I don't just tell you how to do these things or what the Bible says. I have to live it. I have to practice it myself. That makes the difference. You know who a model of obedience, where that's actually seen at? One of the examples of the Bible is Luke 1 and verse 38. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. I ask the question, what greater attitude than "let it be to me according to your word"? Is there any other greater attitude than to have this submission? Once again, we saw James 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves unto God. You know, we ask the question, well, what was Mary's options here? She could run away. She could offer excuses. She could argue with the angel that's talking there. She could demand answers. She could simply refuse. Or she could surrender in obedience. Godly mothers are examples of obedience. Think about it. How about the third one here? Godly mothers are the teachers of good things. This reflects God's original plan for the operation of the human family. Like I said, we look at our nation today, we don't see it as it should be. But the book of Proverbs is full of admonitions that clearly show that mothers are to be teachers. Proverbs 1 and verse 8, "Do not forsake the law of thy mother," becomes a common expression that you find in Proverbs. It's very interesting. Proverbs 31 and verse 1, King Lemuel was taught by his mother. You know, there's something that a lot of times, we read certain sections of the Bible and it's some of the things that we kind of skip down. But I reminded myself of why I shouldn't do that and just, once again, read starting at the beginning. Because a lot of people don't realize and don't really know that here are the words of King Lemuel's mother. Did you know that? That's what that is in Proverbs 31? These are the words of a king's mother. And they are astonishing to me every time I read them for various reasons, such as the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. You see that in verse 1? What his mother taught him. And I want you to take note of what she is teaching her son. Now, once again, what she taught this king. In verses 3 through 9, notice, if you will, these words. Now, picture, of course, he's a king. This is what amazes us, doesn't it? "Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings." Okay? "It is not for kings, O mule, it is not for the kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget what? The law. And pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, or remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless, and the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth and judge righteously, he says in verse 9, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. That's a true king. That's a true leader, isn't it? That's what that is. She had very wise words for her son. She truly was virtuous, wasn't she? She was wise. A lot of times, we was talking when Kenzie was talking about this in the scripture here, Proverbs 31, and how, you know, we commonly say kings. You know, what do we put with them? How do we characterize them? Sometimes we say they're gluttonous, right? I mean, that's kind of how we picture it. You know, they're always drinking wine. They're always having banquets. They're always partying and all that. But you notice what she says. That's not for you. He says, lest they drink and forget the law. We talk about be sober, be vigilant. We talked about Sunday evening, about the lion's lunch. He said, she said, give strong drink to those who are perishing. You know who this reminds me of? This reminds me of my mother. This is who it reminds me of. And the words that I learned about avoiding worldly living. Teaching is done, though, largely, not just by words, but by example. That's largely done by example. We know that, especially as Christians, when our words and our actions do not harmonize, we actually do our children great disservice because they recognize hypocritical things and the effectiveness of the teaching is actually destroyed. That's for Christians, right? We should never demand more than we do of ourselves. A little boy was told by his mother that it was God who makes people good. He replied, I know it is God, but mothers help a lot. Think with me for a moment, just some examples real quickly of some good mothers that we find in the Bible. I just list Jochebed is one of them in Exodus chapter 2. And, you know, this is an example of a worthy mother here, worthy of honor that we're talking about. Her son was born, obviously, in the midst of difficult and dangerous times in Exodus chapter 2. And you remember who he was? Moses, wasn't it? Moses. And Moses' mother instilled faith in her child. Because later he was able to make a wise choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin, even for what? A season of Hebrews chapter 11. You find that in those verses of Hebrews 11, verses 23 through 26, about his mindset and where his affections were. Hannah is another good one from 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2 as well. Hannah is an example of a mother who actually encouraged her son to excel in good things. You find that she prayed in that chapter earnestly for a child in verses 11 through 18 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And then she gave her child to the Lord as she had actually promised him. You see that in verses 24 through 28 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And what she did in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, verses 18 and 19, she continued to provide for her child. That's what we find as a virtuous woman. Eunice and Lois, we find in Acts chapter 16, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and 2 Timothy chapter 3. They were a good mother and grandmother of whom? Timothy. And it's very interesting to read the words that's mentioned. Just for example, 2 Timothy chapter 1. So if you haven't read that one lately, look at it again in verses 3 through 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice the design and what we see in Proverbs chapter 31. And tell me, that's exactly what we've been talking about. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 5, when I call for remembrance the unfeigned love that is in thee. Okay, he's pointing to Timothy. That's in thee, that's in you. Which dwelt first where? In thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that it's in thee also. Do you see the connections that are there? And he says, and that from a child, in chapter 3 and verse 15, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So my friends, what am I talking about in all this lesson? Obviously, we're honoring those. As this day has been given, we think about as Mother's Day. I think of it in the same way as I do Thanksgiving, though. It shouldn't be just one day a year, right? It shouldn't be. Because godly mothers are to be respected and honored. Proverbs 31 and verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. We find that respect for mothers is noted in the Old Testament, and it goes on and sprouts into the New Testament. A few verses I put before you is Leviticus 19 and verse 3. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. We obviously know who gave that command, who was telling that, and it was God, as he says at the end there. You shall revere, which means respect, doesn't it? Worthy of great honor. Proverbs 23 and verse 25, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. And of course, the one we know, Ephesians 6 and verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Like I said, we think about the days that we're given, Thanksgiving, with talk about Mother's Day, and of course Father's Day will be coming around the corner. Every day, obedience is the way to honor. Isn't it? I believe so, because the Bible says it to be. I think about what greater gift I could give my mother today. And it's not a big screen TV. It's not a new car. It's not a new cell phone. It's not all those other gifts that we can think of. Or words that are written in a Hallmark card. Yes, Hallmark. That's my brand. But the best way that I can honor her is to be an example of goodness. The way she taught me. That's the way to honor her. And sometimes we think about the scripture that like mother, like daughter. Well, they can be like son too, but kind of goes with father better. But you know, that's a Bible expression. Like mother, like daughter. It's a Bible expression from Ezekiel 16 and verse 44. It's very interesting, isn't it? How the Bible is rooted in these things. I see a nation that slips away. But our minds need to always glory in those wonderful things that God has given us in our lives. Because I would submit to you that, in conclusion, that most of us can trace what admirable qualities we possess to our mothers. Because I can look in the mirror and see my mother. When I'm stubborn, I can see my father. That's the way she trained me. You know, I'm thankful for that. And hopefully we're thankful for those that we still have, and especially the memories that we have of those that have passed on before us, and that we live that example of a godly person. Memories of mothers inspire and lift us. I remember being taught about God at an early age and His great world. The meaning of love, carrying us before we were born, fed us, bathed us when we were helpless. And I saw Aiden in this all over, because I saw Kenzie bathing him, helpless. He tried to lift up to help, but helpless. Clothed us, rocked us when we're tired and sleepy, just like just a little bit ago I saw. Learned to take our first steps.
Growing up, she suffered with us in his torments. We are debtors. If we could only adequately tell the work with the mothers. For her worth is far above rubies. Today we honor our mothers best when we are obedient to God's will. Are we obedient to God's will? There's not everybody that can say they had a mother like mine and a godly mother. And I feel for them. I really do. But I say today that I count my blessings because I have one. And I honor her best today by being obedient to God's will, the way God designed us as children. And for those mothers today, be the example. We're going to get to Father's Day soon enough, and it's on me as well. I ask the question, are we someone that God truly is proud to be called His children? I assume, and I have heard from my mother, that she's proud of me. And I tell you what, that goes a long ways in the physical world. It really does. But I ask this, spiritually speaking, what goes a lot further is if God, the Creator of all, if He's proud of me today. Can we say that? That God, my Father, is proud of me. I hope so. As you get your songbooks ready, God has given us all as individuals worth because He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. Are we using that to the best of our ability today? I hope so. I hope so. The admirable qualities that we saw in Proverbs chapter 31 and through the scriptures, that's what God wants to instill in us as we grow up in Him, in the knowledge of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the design. Are we doing that today as Christians? Have we put on the body of Christ in baptism? Are we living as a true disciple of Christ? Are we honoring Him the way that we should? If we're subject in any way of this invitation call and the song encouragement, why don't you come as we stand and sing a song that's been selected?
I hear thy word.